Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, his capital, Jerusalem, was besieged by the allied armies of Israel and Syria. Even Israel was at war with their brothers of Judah. In earlier battles, Israel had slaughtered thousands of Jewish warriors, including the king's own son, and had taken hundreds of captives. Syria drove the Jews from the port city of Elath, likewise carrying away hundreds of captives to Damascus. Therefore, when Ahaz learned that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, had made an alliance with the purpose of invading Judah and setting a Syrian king over the Jews, his heart was swayed, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the forest are swayed with the wind. Ahaz had brought this devastation upon himself by removing himself from the Lord's protection. We read, he did not do that which was right in the sight of Yehovah his God, as David his father had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom Yehovah cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Nevertheless, the Lord sent Isaiah with his son to meet Ahaz with a message of hope. Take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, because they have taken evil counsel against you. Thus says the Lord Yehovah, it shall not rise up, nor shall it be. But the Lord knew that Ahaz would not believe or trust in his protection. Therefore, the Lord commanded Ahaz to ask for a sign from Yehovah. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above, that is, either from hell, for Ahaz was evil, or from heaven. But Ahaz hypocritically answered, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yehovah. He did not want any proof of the Lord's power. And so the Lord himself gave Ahaz a sign in the words of the prophecy of the virgin birth. It is not recorded how Ahaz in his day responded to this sign, but these words remain a crucial sign to us today by which we may be led to believe in the Lord and to trust in his protection. Even in the literal sense, these words provide a central teaching for all Christians that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born of a mortal father, nor was he a son born from eternity, as various churches have taught. He was a man born of a virgin at a certain point in time, a man who would be God with us because his father was the divine itself. The writings bring out the doctrinal significance of this prophecy in its literal sense, and to it they add the spiritual meaning of these kings and nations and their wars, eternally transcending the historical setting in which the Lord first gave us these words. Judah and the house of David, of whom the Lord was to be born, signify the church. The city Jerusalem stands for the church's teaching of the word because the temple was there, and there the scribes preserved the scrolls and the knowledge of the law and the prophets. The church, in a specific sense, exists where people have some true ideas of the Lord from his word and worship him from their hearts, living their lives according to his commandments. There must always be a true church on the earth. It provides a link between people on earth and people in heaven, because they share a love for the Lord and his word. Through angels, the Lord inspires the human race with spiritual life according to each person's willingness to receive. And through the good people of the church, the Lord gives angels a foundation for their love and wisdom in the actual deeds of people on earth. At the time this prophecy was given, nearly 800 years before the Lord's coming, the church was already failing. We see this in the idolatry of Ahaz, even to sacrificing his infant sons. Syria and Israel represent evils and falsities that attack every church. Israel represents the church abusing and perverting the word. Syria represents people using knowledge from the world to confirm and support the ways they falsify the word. Isaiah calls them the two tails of these smoking firebrands. They are called tails because in this state, people twist their minds backward and downward to sensual things. They believe only their senses and pay no attention to heavenly things. The prophet called them smoky firebrands because people are applying their minds to gratifying the fires of their lusts and putting up smoke screens of lies and justifications. But the Lord promised that he would not allow Syria and Israel to break into Jerusalem and destroy the house of David, cutting off the lineage from which the Messiah was to be born. The Lord promised to preserve something of a true church on the earth all the way down to the time when the virgin should conceive and bear a son who should be called Emmanuel, or God with us. Surely, if we had been good people living in the time of the wicked King Ahaz, watching as he shoved the Lord's altar aside in the temple courtyard to make room for a huge pagan altar, modeled on one that he saw in Damascus, we would have said it was the worst time in the history of the human race. Similarly today, we look at the rise of homosexuality, the collapsing state of marriage as a divine institution, the children growing up neglected and abused, the cruelty and deceit of governments large and small, the epidemic of dishonesty and selfishness in business, and so on and on. We may wonder, how can God tolerate such widespread injustice and wickedness? Is God really with us? Sometimes, too, we look at ourselves and become quite discouraged as we find the same evils in ourselves, the deceit, adultery, urge to dominate, and all the rest. And we may feel it is no wonder that God does not seem to be with us. In states like these, we need the promise and the sign which the Lord gave so long ago to be still a sign for us today. The Lord still promises that he will not permit the true church to fail completely, neither with the human race as a whole, nor with any single one of us. The Lord always preserves a remnant of what is good and true in us and among us wherever there is any willingness on our part. This is why the Lord told Isaiah to take his son with him when he brought the message to Ahaz, for the name of his son was Shear Yashub, which means a remnant shall return. Not only is the Lord preserving what is good, he is always preparing for better states to come. He is preserving virgin states, innocent states, in the world and in us, by which he may come and be born with us. These states may be well hidden, so that they may be kept safe until the time is right for them to come forth. Like the woman clothed with the sun, nourished in the wilderness for a time and times in half a time from the attack of the dragon, or like the baby Lord being carried away by night from the wrath of Herod, the Lord is preserving and protecting good states in the world and in us. When the time was right, the Lord God did come into the world and intervene to save us, as he had promised. His coming was both a miracle and it was the ordinary, orderly procedure of being carried in the womb, being born, and growing up from infancy to childhood to adulthood. In the same way, the Lord is God with us today. His coming is miraculous. Despite the fallen state of the human race, the Lord provides and makes wonderful use of innocent, virgin states remaining with us from childhood. A son, a sight and belief in the truth, is conceived and born in us that grows into a stronger conscience and conviction each time we act on it. And his presence is orderly and ordinary, consistently, quietly working with us in all our states, good and bad, preserving our freedom and bending us as far as we're willing toward what is good. As the Lord came, as he had promised 2,000 years ago, we may be certain that he is still with us today, leading mankind and each one of us. He has not abandoned us. He is still Emmanuel, God with us. He promised the disciples as he rose into heaven after Easter, "I am with you always, even to the consummation of the age, even to the bitter end of the old church and the raising up of a new church." Let us not be like Ahaz, too fearful and unbelieving to ask the Lord for a sign. Let us ask the Lord to help us see the signs of his presence with us and with mankind, so that we may be strengthened in following him. If we ask and are willing, the Lord can give us a sign of his presence each day, just as the angel of the Lord gave the sign to the shepherds, by which they could recognize the Lord coming into their lives. The more we look up to him, the more the Lord will be able to draw out the virgin states in us of innocence and love truly conjugal, of love to him and of love toward our neighbors, by which he may come to us and dwell with us. This is the message of hope given by the Lord through Isaiah the prophet in the days of Judah's great distress. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.